Welcome to the deep dive.
Cool.
Okay, picture this. You're launching a really complex critical control system for a robot. You're sure the code's solid. You hit go, and the system just fails immediately with some super weird, vague error.
Oh, the worst kind.
Exactly. Hours later, tearing your hair out, you find the problem wasn't bad code. It was just a visualization window you forgot to close.
Yep, been there.
So today we're diving into that specific little check-stopping processes like the robotics visualization tool, Foxglove, because it unlocks this fundamental rule of systems engineering.
The need for a clean slate.
The absolute necessity of starting every critical process from a known clean state. It's really the difference between things working predictably and, well, total chaos.
Absolutely.
So for listeners who might be newer to this, what is Foxglove exactly?
Right. So think of it like the ultimate dev tool for robotics people. If you've worked with ROS, you might know RVs.
Yeah, the classic one.
Foxglove is kind of the modern successor, especially in the ROS2 world. It's basically your window into the robot's mind. It gives you real-time 3D views. You can monitor messages flying around, plot data, look back at recordings. It's all designed to help you see what the robot is doing or thinking.
Okay, so let's get into it then. If this tool is so helpful, I mean, indispensable for debugging, why does leaving it running actively break our critical scripts? How does a passive viewer turn into like an active saboteur?
Well, that's the interesting part, isn't it? In these complex distributed systems like ROS2, there's really no such thing as a truly passive observer.
Okay.
When Foxglove connects to visualize data, it creates active network connections. And those connections, they immediately start competing with your actual control logic.
Ah, okay. And that competition, that leads us right into the first trap you hear about, resource contention and subscription conflicts.
Precisely. So to show you, say, a camera feed or where the robot's joints are, Foxglove needs to subscribe to those data topics.
Right.
But if your main control script needs that exact same data stream, well, now you've got two processes basically fighting over the same resources: bandwidth, CPU cycles.
It's like two people trying to drink from the same straw at the same time.
Kind of. Or maybe like two chefs grabbing flour from the same small bag in a rush, especially if it's heavy data like raw camera images. That strain can be immediate.
Yeah, I can see that. And the sources we looked at mentioned it's not just about bandwidth, right? It gets more technical.
That's where the quality of service or QoS settings come in. This is a really crucial ROS2 concept. Think of QoS as the rules for how data gets delivered, its priority, reliability, how long the system holds on to it.
Okay.
Now, if Foxglove subscribes with one set of QoS rules and your control script uses different rules for the same topic, the system can get confused. It might not know how to serve both properly. So you end up with message queues overflowing or data just getting dropped.
And in a control loop, dropped data means hiccups,
Sudden
errors.
unpredictable failures.
Yeah.
Not good.
Okay, so we've got competition for the data itself. But you mentioned something else. Sometimes the conflict isn't about the data flow at all. It's more like a blocked doorway.
Exactly. That's the second trap.
Yeah.
Port conflicts. This one's more of a hard stop.
Right.
Foxglove has different ways to connect. Sometimes it connects directly, natively. Other times, it uses something called a WebSocket bridge mode.
Why would it use that?
That bridge mode lets you connect to the robot data from a web browser, which can be super useful.
Okay, got it.
But when it's in that bridge mode, it usually opens a specific network port. Often it's port 8765, but it could be something else.
And if my control script tries to use that same port,
Oh man, script fails instantly. Won't even start.
and the error message is just useless, right? Something like port already in use.
Totally misleading. It gives you absolutely no clue that your friendly visualization tool is the culprit. It just looks at a generic network problem.
Yeah, that sounds maddening. It really hides the root cause.
Which is, a classic sign of bad state management. You left something running that blocked something else.
Okay, let's talk about ghosts. How does just closing a window sometimes leave things messy? This idea of zombie subscribers.
Yeah, so this gets into how these distributed systems like ROS2 actually work. All the different parts of your robot software, the nodes they need to find each other.
Right.
They do this using a discovery server. Think of it like the system's phone book or address registry.
Okay.
When Foxglove connects, it registers itself in that phone book. Hi, I'm here. I'm interested in this data.
Makes sense.
But if you just close the Foxglove window, or maybe the network glitches and it disconnects badly,
Yes.
it might not properly unregister. It doesn't tell the system, okay, I'm leaving now.
So it hangs up, but the line stays open on the other end.
Exactly. The system still thinks that Foxglove Instance is there, listening. That's your zombie subscriber.
And what harm does that zombie do? Just sit there.
Well, it clutters up that registry, for one. So when new, legitimate nodes start up, discovery takes longer because the system has to sift through all these dead entries.
Slows things down.
Slows things down. Mm-hmm. And worse, depending on the setup, these zombies might still be consuming network messages, even though nobody's looking at them, just adding useless load.
Ugh. That sounds like a debugging nightmare. You're fighting invisible performance issues caused by phantoms.
Pretty much. Residual state causing cascading problems.
Okay, so we've got network traffic jams, blocked ports, zombie processes. Are there other ways Foxglove can mess things up, even if the network side seems okay?
Oh, absolutely. Because the tool itself holds onto things. Mm-hmm. It has memory. And that brings us to trap four, configuration state persistence.
Yeah.
This one's a real headache for debugging.
Right. Foxglove holds state. So let's say you run your robot, you're debugging something, you maybe tweak a parameter in your script. Mm-hmm. Then you stop the script, maybe change it again and relaunch it. But you never closed Foxglove.
Right. So the new script is running with the new parameters. But Foxglove, it might still be displaying the values or the topic setup from the last run.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So you, the developer, are looking at the visualization, seeing stale data, and thinking that's the current state of the robot.
So you start debugging the wrong thing.
Exactly. You go down these rabbit holes chasing problems that don't actually exist in the code that's running now. They only exist in the visualization tool's cache, its memory.
Wow, that's subtle and dangerous. Fear the unmanaged memory.
Always. Always fear the state you didn't explicitly reset.
Okay, and the fifth trap, the last one our sources highlighted, feels really critical, especially if you're gathering important data. File lock conflicts.
Yes. This one is about data integrity. If you're using Foxglove not just to view, but also to record data, like saving sensor readings to a ROS2 bag file.
Which is super common during development and testing.
Very common. When Foxglove is recording, it puts a lock on that file. An exclusive lock, usually. I'm writing here, nobody else touch this. Now, if your main control script, maybe as part of its startup or shutdown, tries to do something with that same bag file.
Like maybe delete the old one to start fresh or append more data.
Exactly. Or even just read from it. If Foxglove still has that lock, the script's file operation will fail instantly.
I think I've hit this one. Spent ages thinking a sensor had died, but nope. Just a file lock from a recording I forgot was running.
It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Because, again, the error looks like a generic file system problem, not a robotics issue. Permission denied or file in use.
Right. Give you no context.
And the real danger here is potential data corruption if things get interrupted mid-write. Or just losing valuable experiment data because your cleanup script couldn't run.
Yeah, that's bad. You sacrifice data integrity just for the convenience of watching things live.
When development tools bleed into automated or critical runs, that's often the trade-off you accidentally make.
Okay, so this is quite a list. Zombies, ports, stale data, file locks. It really drives home why you need a systematic way to ensure a clean start. The source has laid out a few approaches, kind of a spectrum of forcefulness.
Yeah, you can think of it that way. From gentle nudges to guaranteed termination. On the cautious end, you've got the manual check.
So the script just looks, is Foxglove running?
Yep. And if it is, the script just stops and tells the user, hey, close Foxglove first. It's non-invasive. It doesn't delete anything the user might have wanted, like an ongoing recording.
Polite, but requires manual intervention. Yep. Okay, what's next?
Then you get more assertive, especially for automated testing or scripts. The automatic cleanup.
This is where the kill all command comes in.
Usually, yeah. Something like kill neva9 Foxglove. The neva9 is the key. It's a forceful, immediate termination signal. No questions asked.
Guarantees it's gone.
Guarantees it. Ensures 100% certainty the process is dead before your main script proceeds.
Okay. More forceful. What if you need something smarter?
That's where Python integration comes in. You build the check right into your launch script using Python's process management libraries.
So the script itself can check, maybe try a gentle shutdown first, then escalate to a kill if needed. Or alert conditionally?
Exactly. It gives you programmatic flexibility. You can decide how to handle the conflict within the script's logic.
And then for real, like production systems.
For robust production environments, you likely use system management or your operating system's service manager.
So you tell the OS itself that these things shouldn't run together.
Precisely. You declare a conflict between the Foxglove service, if you run it as one, and your critical control service. The OS then enforces that they can't be active simultaneously. It's the most robust system-level way to handle it.
Got it. So the core distinction here really boils down to context, right?
Yeah.
When do we want Foxglove, and when must it absolutely, positively be gone?
That's the key takeaway. Foxglove is fantastic, even critical for development and debugging. When you're actively trying to understand what's happening, run it. Start it first. Coordinate it. But for production runs, for automated testing, for any operation where predictable deterministic behavior is paramount, it has to be closed. You need to eliminate every possible external variable you can.
Ensures that clean slate.
Exactly.
So stepping back a bit, we've gone deep on one specific tool in robotics. This whole conversation, it feels like it's pointing to something much bigger, right? A universal rule.
Absolutely. This isn't just about Foxglove or ROS2. The discipline of checking for that one stray process, it exemplifies one of the highest principles in systems engineering, really.
Which is?
Critical operations must start from a known clean state. You simply cannot guarantee the outcome of a complex process if you can't guarantee its starting point, period.
And you see this idea everywhere once you start looking for it, not just in robotics.
Everywhere. Connect the dots. Think about software development. Why do we religiously clear test databases before running automated tests?
Clean slate.
Why do we reset mock objects? Why clear browser caches when debugging web apps?
Eliminate residual state. Old data, old configurations.
Exactly. It's all about removing those hidden variables that cause those Heisen bugs, the ones that disappear when you try to look closely.
And in infrastructure too, right? Like DevOps.
Oh, definitely. Think about immutable infrastructure. Yeah. The whole idea of not patching old servers, but instead deploying brand new, fresh instances every single time.
That's the clean state principle scaled up.
Totally. Because managing the accumulated unknown state of an old system is way harder and riskier than just starting fresh with a known configuration. Same with clearing out container volumes before a run.
So it really seems like these small habits, these checks that might seem tedious, like checking a process list for one tool, they aren't minor details. They're the bedrock of building reliable systems.
They are. Predictability doesn't happen by accident. It's engineered. And it's often engineered by ruthlessly managing state, by ensuring you start clean every time.
The most baffling failures often trace back to some piece of leftover state someone forgot about.
Almost always.
Okay, so let's quickly recap the journey we took. We looked at what Foxglove is, that essential robotics visualization tool. We dug into the five specific ways leaving it open can bite you. Resource competition, those sneaky port conflicts, the zombie subscribers cluttering things up, stale configuration data misleading you, and those dangerous file locks.
Mm.
And pulling it all together, the big lesson, the absolute necessity of guaranteeing that clean slate before any critical operation kicks off.
Couldn't say it better.
Now, let's leave you, our listeners, with a final thought, something to chew on. It builds on this whole theme of reliability versus maybe convenience. Our sources pointed out that for maximum reliability in control systems, maybe we should favor logging everything rather than relying on live visualization.
Recording everything to a bag file first.
Yeah. If stability and predictability are truly the top goals for a critical system, is there ever a really compelling reason not to just record everything and analyze it offline safely after the fact?
That's a good question.
How often is that real-time view a luxury we mistake for a necessity? Especially when system stability is literally on the line, something to think about as you design your next robust system.